I believe everyone's capable of change, and I believe that all managers can and are already leaders. We just have to flip the switch.
Are you ready to join us in creating a better world? Awesome, because you're in the right place. Each week, we feature an inspiring story or message to help spread positive change and create a better world for all of us. I'm your host, Rick Ornelas. Welcome to the I Spark Change podcast. What is up, Impact Heroes? Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Rick Ornelas. Thank you for spending some time with us today, because we know time is a valuable resource and we're going to make it worth your while. I appreciate each and every one of you, not just for listening, but for who you are. I know you are sparking change to make the world a better place every day, and I am humbled and grateful for your efforts. It takes all of us doing our part to spread positive change, and that's what this show is all about. Motivating you with stories of struggle, courage, and hope to empower you to make a difference in your life and the lives of others.
Are you interested in having Rick speak at your event or business? Here is what others have to say.
Did not know his story, and it was so inspirational, and his presence on stage, his authenticity was just incredible.
I absolutely loved his performance. It made me feel some type of way.
If you're looking for a speaker for your next event, hire Rick. I promise you this, you will not be disappointed.
Visit rickornelas.com to book him today.
Welcome back, Impact Heroes. Today we have the pleasure of speaking to our latest iSpark Chain Social Impact Hero, and you are in for a treat this week. Our guest today is a true change maker. Over the past three decades, he's been empowering senior leaders to transform their organizations with a focus on people and culture. He's helped boost self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and the ability to drive change in transforming himself and other leaders. He's a former naval warship captain of two tours, not one, two, who went on to lead and architect leadership transformation and systems level change in the Center for Leadership Development for a decade. He's advised senior government leaders in both Singapore and Brunei and received World Bank acknowledgement for his change work and transformation success, among other things. He's an author, award winner, has taught master's programs at two universities, plus completed his PhD on leadership and tactic knowledge transfer. That sounds very interesting. And he's driven, passionate, and has devoted himself to creating a better world. So please welcome to the show the authentic, global, and self-aware Dr. Karuna Ramanathan. Dr. K?
Good morning, Rick, and thank you for having me on this show. It's a real privilege to be sitting in this chair right now at 6 a.m. in the morning, just talking to everyone out there. I'm just amazed at the opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. So first of all, should I call you Dr. K? That's what it shows on the screen there, or how, you know, what do you prefer?
Karuna is fine.
Karuna, okay. All right, we'll go with Karuna. All right, we'll thank you. We connected because someone on your team had reached out, and I had to say I was pretty intrigued, because, you know, at first glance for this podcast, you know, and our audience may say, hey, well, what does someone like that have to do with being a social impact hero? And as I was telling you off air, being involved in leadership for 30 years, I would say everything is in regards to social impact, because that's such a huge part of leadership. I mean, would you agree?
Totally. I think at the root of it all is the belief system, the values, the attitudes that we bring out to bear. And I think that kind of forms over time, but increasingly in positions of power, it gets a little, we start becoming a little bit more conscious of the impact we have on work that we do and on other people. And you really want to worry a little bit about that, especially now. And I believe that there's been a drive, and we are almost in an overdrive now, to kind of deal with the impact we have on people. Social, we have impact on people, we have impact on the environment, we have impact on all these decisions actually add up to something that could be a lot better. And I think that makes us all leaders, and we really need to start thinking about that.
That's great, because that's exactly how I look at it. I look at it as we are all leaders in some capacity, right? Whether you lead a team or an organization or your family, or you're a leader in your church. I mean, so many ways, and that we all impact others. And For years, I didn't really think that. For years, even though I was involved in leadership, I just kind of focused on, hey, this is the sales team I'm leading, or this is the, you know, company I'm leading, and didn't think about the impact that we were having on the greater good, or, you know, globally. And as I created iSpark Change a few years ago and started focusing on, you know, everyone's actions have that ripple effect that affects people far beyond what you realize on a daily basis. And I'd say a leader even more so, a leader of people even more so, because they're affecting others on a regular basis.
Yeah, we've gotten, and I've seen this over the years, and right now we actually verbalize it quite a bit, the intent and the impact. A good way to look at it for me is, if are you intentional in your actions, and are you then prepared to accept the impact it's likely to have? And that intentionality carries with it, at least from a leadership development point, the need to be a little bit more aware, a little bit more self-managing, a little bit more relational, and basically be socially conscious of what you do and what you stand for. And that kind of a generator of sorts could help us to bring to consciousness the possibility that what we might be doing may not be what we might want to see. And that's kind of a realization that creeps up, or it has crept up on me in my years, 30 over years of work. But it's a lot harder right now for a lot of people. And so what we do is we kind of bring that into the first 5 to 10 years of your career, because you'll certainly be a lot more successful intentionally if you are thinking a little bit more about what you have or will be doing. And that actually is a privilege, because influence, positional power, has traditionally been associated with leadership. But right now it's giving way, I believe, in the work that we're doing here in this side of the world, to influence. So a power is slowly taking second seat to influence that you can have. And the social impact is just one major generator of that. I was just sharing a little story. We've never seen the Angkor Wat, and that's in Cambodia. That's a UNESCO site. So we were there last year, and it suddenly dawned on me that these people were not very, they were not very comfortable, because, you know, the entire industry runs on tourism, and it was taking a while for the tourists to come back. And it was just, you know, the impact a tourist could have on an environment like that is just amazing. The way you interact with people, and it's literally watering eyes. I mean, that's the kind of feeling you get. You are making a huge impact to a person's life. And I mean, I came away from that visit last November, committing my team to a week of work there at some point.
Oh, nice.
To actually work with young leaders it's obvious that they're not going to be able to pay consulting fees and all that, but that's the kind of work we can do, Rick. I mean, I hope this is making sense.
Oh no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's wonderful that, you know, you want to have your team, that you had that kind of awareness of what was going on and the impact you were making, number one. And then number two, that you want to bring your team back to have even bigger impact. I want to touch on two things that I got from what you were sharing there, Karuna. The first is that kind of how leadership has changed. So what I've seen in my time and, you know, my career is that when I first got into the workforce, is that leadership was more of that militaristic, top-down, you know, or of a authoritarian type leadership. And you kind of do what we say because we say it, and this is how you're going to do things. And now I agree completely that it's changed into more influence, and leaders have to, what I got from what you're saying is that leaders have to be, have higher emotional intelligence, that they have to have a greater self-awareness, and that they have to be more emotionally intelligent to understand that influence that they have on others, instead of just, you know, barking orders, so to speak, as what I, you know, my opinion, what leadership used to be. I mean, how have you seen it evolve, or do you agree with what I was saying there?
Yeah, totally. And there is a logical reason for that, because the science of leadership actually is rooted in the military. Studies on leadership started up in post-World War II in the military. And actually, that's another thing that a lot of us don't realize is the science of teams actually then also started in the military. Management took a completely different course. And of course, you have all the other theories behind that. But moving on, the two started merging as we started becoming a little bit more globalized. There were different practices. And it was all these coming together. But for a long time, leadership has simply been about power, positional power. And it still is, because in an organization, things are organized and management manages. And so people in positional power default to a leadership style that is naturally command, control, downward looking, upward aligning. And that's management school 101. I mean, basically any MBA would teach you that. But this is what I think has changed over the last couple of years. We are starting to come to terms with the complexities inherent at work, at home, even when we travel, all that risk, all that effort we need to make. And we begin to wonder, how can I be a little bit more impactful in the relationships that I truly seek? Now, at home, it's straightforward, Rick, because the riskiest relationship is probably marriage, and we made a choice there, and we're going to make that work, right? I mean, that's one. But at work, people really don't have a choice. People don't go around choosing people they work with. They just have to start working with people who don't choose or may not choose to work with them. So we're becoming very conscious of being relational and relatable to people in order to be able to influence them and work together. Now, all this seems like textbook stuff, but this is where the problem with teams start. So teams will only work if you are either in the military, where it's all very well defined, more teams will work if you make an effort to be a lot more impactful. And that carries with it the relational relatability quotient. So that's the shift that I've seen. And that's one major reason. So it's like a heady mix of the environment, the disruptions, and also the changes that people see. There's something else that's crept up along us. These days, you can't be barking orders at people simply because you want them to believe that you know the answer. It's called Google, and basically someone's going to go to the back and say, all right, come on, get off that.
Yeah, so true. So true. So tell me, okay, knowing that you have been in the military, right? You did have positions of authority in the military. How did it change for you? So the typically, you know, we kind of started getting a good conversation, but typically, you know, Corinne, the first question I ask people is, you know, we see you as a social impact hero because of the work that you do and the effect that it has on others and the positive effect it has on humanity. But I guess I have a two-part question. Is first is, do you see yourself as a hero? And then the second part would be, how has your leadership evolved yourself? Because, you know, being in the military, and then, you know, now where you are now and all the years, like, how has it changed over the years? But first, or do you see yourself as a hero?
No, not at all, man. I mean, that is such a high calling, and I'm sorry I fall well short of that. and let me explain why, because it's easy to have that tag on yourself, but I am, and I still stay somewhat tuned to the principles of servant leadership and service. And that probably at this stage of my life is becoming a lot clearer to me, and it's give back time, right? So it's nothing heroic about this. But I want to go back to the earlier part that how I changed. I changed a couple of times. I look back. I changed firstly in the military. I mean, when you start and you get this inflated sense of importance as you go through ranks on warships, you know, you think that you're getting more power, you know, more things. And so, you know, I was privileged to be trained in some of the best places in the world. And my very first command tour was on a 38 crew mine hunt, 50 meters long, a very tight crew. And I threw myself into that relational thing, you know. So I became very relatable to everyone. They had all access to me. I mean, and basically we became a top-notch fighting unit. And the record would show that we were the best ship in the Navy for that year. Now, I went on to do further studies, and when I came back, I actually, because of the grading that I had, I actually got the biggest warship. And this time around, it's no more 50 meters, it's 150 meters with two helicopters and nine decks. I mean, basically up, down, and it was a really, my biggest leadership lesson there was I used the same leadership style that had worked so successfully for 38 men and women to a 150 crew complement. I failed. I mean, there was no way I could relate to each and every one of the 150. I had to build, and I basically slipped into a small circle of trust, and the impact was actually not visible to me at that point. But when I look back on it, I said, you know what? I could have done much better. I mean, all things said, that's not hero at all. And then as I started to process that, I then realized that some things had to change. Then I went on after that command to actually spend 11 years in the leadership center. And most of those 11 years, Rick, was actually wearing a collared T-shirt and pants, because you don't want to be running around with all your badges and your rank and authority. And that was really, really humbling, because actually you let people see you for who you hope they can see you for, rather than the authority. And not everyone's going to be likable, but I then took away the fundamental premise of respect. And till today, that's quite sterling for me. At the heart of everything, the only evaluation of a leader for me today is whether this individual is capable of respecting other people. And that is so fundamental, because it underpins, so going on to where the lessons have been, respect to me is the bedrock for empathy. And empathy is actually, basically, when you practice empathy and you're consistent in practicing empathy, one might describe someone to be a leader with some degree of humility. I mean, there's lots of psychological theories around this, but I prefer the respect, empathy, humility route, rather than the higher and loftier love, compassion, authenticity route. I mean, that's a much higher calling. I guess people who do that must be real heroes, but I'll just stay at a much lower level now. I hope that makes sense, Rick.
No, it does make sense. And I would say, I'll try to convince you, Karuna, that you are a hero, because with our definition, we use an acronym on the podcast that a hero, they honor their purpose, as is the H for hero. And I think by doing the work that you're doing, by helping to make others better leaders, by, you know, being a humble servant leader and having empathy, then that in itself is, by our definition, is heroic.
And,
you know, and even just having a positive influence on others that you talked about at the very beginning, I see that as being heroic, because I believe that, just like you said, that we all influence one another, and we all can influence each other on a regular basis, that we can all be heroes on a regular basis, that every day has each individual on this planet has the ability to be heroic by my definition. Now, there's a million definitions of hero, right? Yeah. And there's, you know, there's comic book definitions and all these, you know, crazy things. But for our purposes, I'd say that, you know, I'd say you're definitely a hero. So
I would humbly accept a little bit of that. But let me just brought something else to mind. So when the COVID struck all of us, traditional consulting, I mean, I'm a transformation consultant, basically took a hit. And mm-hmm. and we got to thinking what we could do coming out of it. And here's where we are right now. And I hope that we'll have this opportunity to chat about this months ahead. We actually spent a year, just over a year, pulling a lot of knowledge into a gamification app platform. And we are going to put that out there for young people in the Asian region, ASEAN. Let's just say ASEAN, that excludes China and India, right? But you're looking at Laos, Cambodia, the Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, English-speaking young executives who might be struggling at work to be able to become better leaders. That would be a heroic endeavor, because you're actually slashing right down to minimum cost, and you're making a real, if it works, a social impact. I mean, I'm actually pooling consultants in the region to be able to give some time to developing people for a very small cost as to what they would normally charge. And the theory here is more people need help to become better versions of themselves, mm-hmm. and we should not hold back on helping them do just that, because the world today and the world 15, 20 years ago, I'm sure you'd agree with me, is very, very different, and we just need to help people. So that's the platform's called Change Leader. It's going to be launched in the second half of the year, and I'm hoping that it would actually have an impact socially on how managers work with people in all these countries.
And I think it will. And thank you for sharing about that. And you know, it's interesting that you talked about gamification, because that's one of the great ways to engage people. You know, especially you know, like you said, young executives, Gen Z, you know, younger millennials. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect. So I'm sure you will have success. And yeah, as you launch and everything, we can definitely chat again. So there's some more heroism in your work. So in the different, how did you get interested? Obviously you were in the military, but Corinne, how did you get interested in leadership? Was it thrust upon you by virtue of your time in the military, or is it something that you've always had a knack for or an interest in from the time you were young?
I think, my goodness, I was just been thinking about this, you know, because I think the HR community is starting to move into skills-based assessments rather than simply qualifications. I mean, it's a huge topic right now, but when I look back, I think we all, there would be some indication of wanting to lead when we're in school. I mean, there are enough studies to show that people who join, for example, co-curricular activities, they actually lead in sport, they do those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. So, but in Singapore, there's compulsory military service. And I think there, it kind of gives you a taste of what it might be to want to lead in a military setting. And so that drew me as well. And then on the ships, it started to be a little heady, because you get escalated right through ranks, and you actually, before you know it, you're in second in command, and you think you're a real hero. Actually, you're not. Yeah, you're a hero within very narrow confines of say the warship, right? Okay. I think my first jolt came as I went from one successful ship to another extraordinary complex ship. And that kind of, I kind of got to thinking as to what I could have done a lot better. This was when I was 37, 38. And I realized that I did not have quite the impact I thought I did on people. And then the offer came along because my kids were young and I'd stepped out of the ships by then. And the offer came along to stay in the military and join the new leadership center. Mm-hmm. And I got drawn to that because I could actually do some real work there. And I must say that those 10 years were amazing, because I was very fortunate to be dabbling with difficult leadership development concepts and experimentation. So I give an example. One of the programs required us going into the jungles in Brunei for 19 days to actually observe how 600 soldiers actually interacted under stress. I mean, that kind of stuff is really, really a privilege. That gave you a sense of how people actually work with each other, how they can better work with each other, and what we might need to do to help people. And so when I came out, it was natural. I didn't want to be a leadership trainer. I actually wanted to help people become better versions of them. That's like a North Star. I still do that. I believe I'm known to some of my past clients as not turning down an assignment if someone needs help. It's actually that. And I believe there are many more like me out there, you included, Rick.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that you include me in there. And that to me, what I'm getting from that, Corinne, is that to me says you kind of created your purpose over your career. You were interested in leadership and you were involved in there, but you created that purpose. So what would you, And I know that word is kind of thrown around, and it's something that, you know, I've had to create in my life. And I used to think that people find it, but you know, now I feel that you create it. You end up creating purpose in your life. So where do you think, what would you say is your purpose at this point in life? And is it something that you, as you know, came during your time in the military, or is it something that you've come to that realization more recently?
It's probably more recently, because the real pain I'm seeing is, to me, the military will always be a very tight artificial environment. It exists for a purpose. I mean, and let's not berate that. But everything there is probably very ordered and at best complicated. And you have good men and women who are actually chosen to lead. So let's put that entire paradigm aside now. Because of the complexities we're seeing in organizations, external as well as internal, we're starting to get a lot of people who are facing difficulties in organizations. And I started realizing that the more I work with managers and supervisors. I mean, there's a whole range of problems that people take with them to work. And there's a whole range of problems that people take from work to home. And helping them deal with that. So I would say my purpose right now is to help every manager become a better leader. And that's my way of giving back, because they don't have to attend leadership programs and courses. It's just that, it's that one touch opportunity to actually say, hey, think about this. And that's why this podcast, this session with you is so interesting, because I can just say, if you only need to think about one thing, what might that be? It would be, work with people whom you decide would respect you, and you would then respect others. I mean, that's the kind of tweak I would like to make. It just boils down to that. Some people are just not capable of respecting others, and we should stay well clear of them.
Yeah, I think, even though totally different cultures from the States to Singapore, I'd say there's a lot of similarities in terms of the challenges that leaders face and the growth stages that they go through. So you touched on there about helping managers become leaders. So I know there's, when I've worked and coached in small businesses, there's that whole debate about, oh, manager versus leader and the owner of the business, whether they're more of a manager and leader. I mean, I always ask them that. How do you help managers or people that are used to, you know, managing or having a certain type of modalities or methods? How do you transform them, if you will, into those leaders to have more impact and influence and respect people more?
The traditional consulting way to this is like 6 months of work. You put them through some workshops, you get some coaching going, you get some assessments done, and those things are very costly. I mean, they are actually costly. So if you're gonna go broad based and have a social impact on this, then actually the realization, just getting straight to that question, would be you are already a successful manager. I mean, you're a manager because you are a good supervisor. You could actually do work. You know enough to get work done for the most part. Now you need to start thinking of the difficulties that you would have to cope and manage, cope and adapt better. And that requires that you draw on people. People decide that they will work with you, and you will open yourself up to working with people. And that shift actually means I will manage the work, but I will seek to lead people. And that starts with self-leadership and deciding that I will lead myself. So the shifts are actually very subtle. It is the realization that you could choose a path of respect. I mean, you could choose a path of love. It's good for you if you do that. But you could also choose a path of respect, rather than to choose a path of fear or pain or worry or, you know. And that brings that back down to the realization that you could actually do things quite differently and become a little bit more successful at work. For some managers, the tweak, I've had workshops where someone has actually got up by the halfway mark and said, I'm done with this because I know where you're getting at and I'm just going to do that. And that's phenomenal. I mean, imagine a manager at a halfway mark saying that, and saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm just walking out now to, I've not spoken to my people in 2 months and I'm just going to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of work that we do here. I mean, I still have clients and they are great people and who ask me for the traditional workshops and the traditional programs. We do change and adaptive leader work. But the larger part of me is starting to bring this down to a point where you can just flip a switch and realize that you are a leader. And it's something you said at the pre-talk, I mean, the pre-chat check-in. You know what? I mean, if you decide to have children, you are a leader. There's no way you're going to manage them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. So we all have that in us. It's a matter of flipping that switch on. And for a long time, the way organizations run has kind of made us not flip those switches. But the time is to flip that switch now.
Yeah, and would you say that the part of the reason for that shift, that the pandemic played a big role in the shift?
Totally. I mean, just coming off early this morning, I glanced over a short article that said work from home is actually quite hazardous if you've not thought a little bit about it. So we are going to have to make, okay, so we're going to, post-pandemic, we're seriously going to have to make some serious choices. And those choices carry with it commitments, as that commitment would carry with it certain risk and effort. I mean, it's as simple as that. And therefore, we have an opportunity to impact people. We just have to be more intentional about it so that we don't get blindsided like I did, you know, years ago, not thinking that their position was going to impact people. It's not. It's the influence that you need to grow around people. And it gets a little harder if your personality or your psychological needs don't sit well, but there's also opportunities to do that. I think everyone is capable of, I believe everyone's capable of change. And I believe that all managers can and are already leaders. We just have to flip the switch.
Yeah, and they have to be on board, I guess. They have to be on board and you know, be willing to do the work and do that change, which can be hard for some people, but as long as they're open.
Yeah. And I'm a results and data-driven guy. I mean, as much as most consultants are, right? We're looking at anywhere from 50 to 75% success in doing this.
Yeah, that's good.
The traditional returns are actually 8 to 25%. So I can understand why there's a lot of hesitancy in doing this. But the power is not in the HR department. Or the power is not in the training and development departments. The power is in each and every manager.
Yeah, and I say that's the mental shift, I guess, that people need to make and realize that they have control over their own destiny and their abilities and everything.
Totally.
And that I'd say just in my career, I've noticed that some of the younger generations, they have the ability to make that mental shift a little quicker than maybe, you know, like Generation X or baby boomers, whereas, you know, Gen Z especially can make those mental changes quicker than some previous generations, I would say.
That's obviously going to be an alternative way of looking at that, right? I mean, seriously, we get to stages in our life where we, like, I mean, I'm 59 this year, you know, so basically you know that, hey, so what's life really worth thinking about? And you start thinking about your purpose in life, and you start thinking about the way in which you can, just how much of gratitude, you know, you've accumulated basically for people, and have you shown enough of that? But if I rolled it back to 25 or 30, I empathize with the younger generation. You know, I mean, my kids are 30 and 27. It's like there's a level of distraction that they're facing. It's amazing. I don't think we've been able to cope. They are significantly more cognitive, which means that they can process it faster. You know, it's like going from YouTube to TikTok, right? I mean, you can immediately get it, right? But I'm not so sure that the cognitive-emotive balance is clear enough for them, as it would be for someone having like 30, 35 years of work. So I become a bit more emotive about my work now, and put that cognition away and said, what is my real purpose here? What am I trying to do? How is this day going to be different from any other day? And if I had only 1 hour to live, and if I was looking back, would I have said that this was an hour well spent? I mean, have we gotten to that level of understanding, which is, I think, almost near impossible for someone in their 30s to pick up?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you there. I think the for sure, you know, because you need that life experience, you need that time, you need that work experience. I think what I was getting at is that they're a little more open to change, and maybe because they've seen the world change so much in such a short period of time, where it was a little slower for us, those changes. So they see changes like so rapid, so they're maybe a little more open to that change. But it doesn't make it easier.
Actually, the more difficult programs we run is how young people could actually work with the more mature workforce. It's not the other way around. I mean, with the mature workforce, you can actually press a couple of buttons and we could get to purpose, we could get to impact, we could get to leading it well, you know. But with young people, it's always, you know, wait a minute, you know. It's that whole attention deficit, you know. It's the big problem there.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. So what would be the most impactful advice you would give to a young person starting out, or yourself, or your 25-year-old self? You know, what advice would you give to that person starting out on that leadership journey?
Respect everybody. And if you're not capable of it, then ask yourself why.
Ooh, that's good advice. That's really good advice. And I think even when people, you know, when people don't respect someone, they never ask that question. They never ask that question, right? They just go about and say, oh, I don't like that person. You know, I respect them. And they just go about, and then there's never any chance of a relationship. And it reminds me of the quote from Abraham Lincoln, who said, I don't like that man. I must get to know him better.
That's exactly where we are right now. And yeah, that would bring so much of impact socially. And the world would be full of heroes.
Better. Yeah. Well, that's great advice. Thank you so much. So as we, you know, come to the end of our show here, I want to ask you, Karuna, just before I forget, where can our audience connect with you, learn more about you? Where would be the best place for them to find out more about your work?
Yeah, I mean, we have the entry website. It's krk.sg. If you just get to krk.sg, you could get there. And you'll probably see some of the work that we do, but we don't broadcast it, because we believe in respecting, I mean, there's client confidentiality, but it's leadership work, it's respectful work. So we don't say a lot about it, but you can connect with krk.sg and you can get to me, and I'm more than happy to take calls from anyone anywhere in the world who wants to spend a bit more time on his or her leadership development. Always have time for a willing manager wanting to become a leader.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for sharing that. We'll make sure we put that in the show notes. So as one final question that we always ask, because as I said at the beginning, you know, I believe you're a social impact hero by our definition, and you know, you've opened your heart to our listeners. Thank you. And at iSpark Change, we have big goals. So our goal is to positively impact 1 billion people in the next 5 years through our community and our work. And we can't do that alone. So we need the help of impactful leaders like yourself to show others the way, to help others become the best version of themselves and become better leaders. Because a lot of people, they feel, as I once did, that they're too small and they don't make a difference. So as a social impact hero, I'm going to ask you to peer into the future, to look into the future, to look into the iSpark Change crystal ball, and tell me, what can the world become if everyone starts believing that they are a leader and that they have an impact on the future?
I think the respect will gear into responsibility, and that responsibility will translate into actions that we can increasingly be consciously proud about. And that, I mean, I don't accept wrong actions within family, because we are a team of leaders, and that relatability and relationship with my children and my spouse and my siblings, it stays that way. So imagine a world where this actually percolates and opens up, with everyone be accountable and responsible for his or her actions. And that intentionality would bring about good and necessary impact in this already fractionalized world. I mean, there's so many things going on here, and you can't save the world, but I think we can generate humanity in one way or the other. And so if you ask me to just pin it down, I mean, I would say every manager is capable of becoming the leader he or she was actually born to be. It's a matter of deciding that you want to get there, and it's not as hard as it looks. Sorry that it's been made that way, but it's not. And you don't need positional power to have influence with people. So I envisage a world where we are only going to get better.
And that'll be a beautiful world and an impactful world. So thank you for that answer, Karuna. I appreciate it. And thank you for taking your time today to share your heart and wisdom with our audience. You came in, you over-delivered as I knew you would, and your desire to be impactful is evident. You're filled with passion, determination, and you lead with a heart of service, which tells me you're going to continue to have success in all facets of life. So it's only the beginning of your time as a social impact hero. So thank you for being on the show.
My real privilege, Rick, and thank you so much for having me on this. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, Impact Heroes, it's our stories that connect us all, and we loved hearing Dr. Karuna's story today. Dr. Karuna, you're not only an inspiring and amazing human being, you are truly an iSpark Change social impact hero. We'll see you all next time.
Remember, Impact Heroes, every positive action can be a spark moment that has a ripple effect that spreads far beyond the initial act. So go out there and spark change. Don't forget, if you enjoyed this episode, then please smash that 5-star rating on iTunes or Spotify and leave a review. We value your comments and we want to hear from you in the community. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And we'll see you next week on the iSpark Change podcast.